Well, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, what do you live for? Hallelujah. Are you excited today? I don't know. You guys seem a little tired to me. I don't know. I don't know. I almost was wondering if I came to the wrong church this morning. I was like, wait a minute. What? This is a sleepy crowd. Yeah. Everybody all right out there? Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Hey, Joanne. Yeah. Hallelujah. Well, isn't God so awesome? Hallelujah. He is so awesome, and there is nothing greater than serving the Lord. There is nothing greater than entering into fellowship and communion with Him. It's so much more than, I guess it's whatever you make it to be, really, right? It's whatever you make it. It has the potential to be unbelievably amazing if you just apply the principles of God's word in your life. If you give of yourself, God responds. He responds to us. He responds to our life, our life situations, our circumstances, our needs. He responds to everything about us. And He is with us. He has not left us nor forsaken us. He has not given up on us. He knows. In fact, He's already made the way so that we can overcome. In fact, He says we have already overcome. We just don't realize it. And it's really true. It really is. And so we are talking about this month, we start our new theme as part of our series, The Great and Glorious God. And we know how great and glorious God is.
Well, at least we have an idea of how great He is.
But one day we will know for sure the awesomeness of God beyond the shadow of a doubt, where we will have no limits or boundaries because we will be completely made free in Him, free from these sinful bodies, right? These bodies are what restrict us. But when we get resurrected bodies, when we are redeemed out of this world and completely under the dominion of Christ and of God, it will change everything. So practice now. Practice worshiping, practice giving thanks to God, practice rejoicing. Hallelujah. Well, are you going to be glad when you get to heaven? Yeah. Well, you might as well be glad now then, right? I mean, if you're going, you might as well start. You ever go on plan a vacation and you start thinking, I'm counting down, right? And don't you feel the excitement stir in your heart? Well, count down, because we're going to the presence of God. We're going to enter into the place that He has prepared for us, that where He is, we may be also. How great is that? And so we are talking about latter rain, the latter rain of God, the Spirit of the Lord, as God works in the midst of our human existence. The latter rain, the outpouring of God. And as we think about all that God is doing and all that He has done, we love the rain when it comes to the rain of God. And so my theme for today is let it rain. Let it rain. Hallelujah. We know that all living things require water, as we've been talking about over the summer, the importance of water. And now the rain, which supplies and replenishes the earth, it has a purpose. And God has given us the rain as a metaphor to look at so we can understand the moves of God. Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Hallelujah. Well, let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word. I ask God that you would open up our hearts, Lord, that you would renew our mind, and that you would enable us to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Let us hear your words, God, not the words of a man, but the words of Almighty God, as the Spirit of the Lord ministers to each and every one of us exactly in the way we need to hear, that we would be able to be transformed, that we would be able to be changed and aligned with the principles of your word and your power and your strength would be imparted to us, that we might be the witnesses that you've called us to be. We give you thanks, O God, for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, let it rain. Let the rain come. Do you love rain? Do you like rain? You know, in moderation, right? There, that's that, you know. That's the key to everything, right? In moderation, right? But we love the rain. I love the rain. Who doesn't like laying in the bed at night hearing the rain just rumble in the background and you hear it coming down? Oh, man. Hallelujah. Yes, I had to replace the roof on part of my house. I put a metal roof on because I wanted to hear the rain. I wanted to hear it when it hit. People always say, why did you put a metal roof on? Oh, it makes so much noise. I say, yeah, I know. That's exactly why I wanted it, because I love laying in the room and hearing the rain come down and the rumble in the background. And it's such a wonderful thing when it rains. How do you feel about the rain? How do you feel about it? Do you enjoy the rain? Do you like the rain? You know, it can be challenging, right? It can be challenging to deal with. But really, why do we need it? Why do we need the rain? Well, we need the rain because it provides water. And rain is important. And, you know, I've learned to appreciate all of the seasons. You know, some people, they don't like it when it's too cold. They don't like it when it's too hot. You know, where are you going? You know, you can't, there's nowhere to go. You know, everywhere is going to be one or the other. But when you can have a shift, when you can, I guess that's why we live here, right? We live here. I mean, this is an awesome place to live, isn't it? I mean, wow, we have God-designed scenic views of mountains, and we have trails to walk on. We can ski in the winter. We can hike in the summer and camp, and we can do all types of outdoor things. We can do mud running. Hey, we didn't do mud running this year. We did the mud running last year. You know, but you know, there's so many things to do that are exciting. And, you know, all of this is provided by the Lord. God has provided all these things. And the rain is just one of those things. And we need the rain. We need the waters to come down. Who doesn't love that? Oh, oh, yeah. Oh, oh, yes. Do you love that sound? Do you like that? Do you like it when the water is coming down? It's so refreshing. It's so life-giving. And that's what the Word of God tells us that God is in our life. He is refreshing. And the rain, it comes down, and it comes down upon the land. And the purpose is so that the fallow ground can be broken up, so that the farmer, the sower, can sow the seed into the ground. And as the sower sows the seed, the ground is ready to receive. And it's the water that makes the land capable of doing that. It's the water. And when we look at how a seedling grows, we'll see how I use this corn here. Yes, oh yes, I'm just taking in the rain here. Oh yes. When you're sowing seeds, You go through various stages. And the first stage is the germination stage, where the seed goes into the ground and it begins to have roots that will come down. And as the roots go down, they also begin to grow up until they become a seedling when they pop up out of the ground. And then the next stage is the flowering stage, which is the stage right before fruit comes forth. And this stage of flowering is important because it is a sign to the farmer that he needs more rain. Because in order to bear fruit, you need the rain to come. And when the rain comes, then the fruit begins to absorb the nutrients of the soil and begins to absorb the moisture in order for it to come to existence. And that's how we get corn. That's how we get fruit, we get vegetables. All of this comes up out of the ground. And then the cycle begins again. And you sow the seed. And life is very similar in the same way. We start out as a seedling. Someone sows a seed into our lives. Someone imparts the word of God to us. Maybe you grew up in a Christian home and your family sowed the word of God. They took you to church, or they prayed with you at home, or they maybe read you Bible stories at night, or even taught little Bible studies with the family in your house. And you began to grow. You became a seedling as you began to walk with God. And as you grew, God connected you with other people. Because as a Christian, you can't live your life alone. You can't live in solitude if you really want to grow and be effective as a child of God. You need to be in the midst of the brethren. You need to be a part of the body. And farmers, you see, as they plant long rows of seeds of the same type. Why? Because they're cultivating a particular type of fruit, and they're manifesting this for the many so that they can feed many people. And you and I, we're part of the church. We're part of the body of Christ so that we can do more together. We can feed more people together. We can impart life to more people together until we reach the flowering stage. When you reach the flowering stage, oh, that is a beautiful stage. That's usually in the spring, in the springtime. The early rain is the rain that comes in the fall, the late fall into the winter. And that's this rain that's designed to break up the ground and get it ready for plowing. And then the latter rain is after the seedlings are planted. It comes along right at the time when fruit needs to be born. And as the fruit comes forth, then the rains pour in and it finalizes it. And every farmer needs the early rain and the latter rain. They need the early rain and the latter rain. The latter rain arrives just as you see the flowers begin to shine, to come forth, to come up. And even as we see the flowers, whether it's wheat or whether it's other vegetables and fruit or fruit trees, when we see that flowering, we know the fruit is about to come forth, is about to mature, come to maturity. And when we do, we're ready for harvest. How many of us, we love corn, right? I love corn. There's nothing better than a nice, sweet piece of corn on the cob. You know, when you bite it, those little bursts of water, and it's like, oh, it's so awesome. And that's who we are to the people of this world. When we are fruitful in the ways of God, in the things of God, we begin to be fruitful in our Christian life. We have the ability to impact the lives of other people. We have the ability to represent the kingdom of God. God pours out his spirit on us. He breathes life into us. And just like the farmer, we're looking for the rain of God. We want God to come down. We want the early and the late rain. We want a harvest that where souls would be saved, where hearts would be redeemed, and that minds would be transformed, and the Spirit of God poured out upon people that they might be made new. Everything in life requires water to grow. Where are you in God's growth process? There is a growth process that we're all going through. And in this growth process, you and I are experiencing a move of God. God is working in your life. He's intervening in your life in one way or another. And we know that from Scripture, the early rain, it represents the coming of Christ. When Christ came and the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost, that was the early rain. The Spirit of God was poured out. And we see this principle in Scripture laid out for us so that we can relate to it, so that we would be able to understand the growth process that God is bringing us through as the people of God. Because we don't want to be stagnant. We don't want to be people who are just plateau in our relationship with God. No one wants a baby to stay a baby, right? When you have a child, you want to see the child grow up and mature and become a woman of God or man of God and to be fruitful in life and to have children of their own and to pass along the lineage so that life would go from generation to generation. No one wants to be stuck in one place, do they? No. No, and we don't want that for each other, do we? We don't want people to plateau. We need to grow in grace. We need to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of God. We need to mature in our walk. We need to be able to deal with hardships and difficulties in a way that brings glory and honor to God, not acting out of our emotions and how we feel and throwing tantrums in an adult kind of way. And we have to grow in this process that God has brought us through. And so in Leviticus 26:1, there are, and we'll look at this over the next couple of weeks, this concept, this understanding of the latter rain of God is only really laid presented this way in six places in the Word of God. And the Scripture has six references to the latter rain of God. And we're going to take a look at all of them and show how they kind of relate to this move of the Spirit of God. In verse 1 of 26 in Leviticus, it says, "You shall not make for yourselves idols, nor shall you set up for yourselves an image or a sacred pillar, nor shall you place a figured stone in your land to bow down to it. For I am the Lord your God." And so God is establishing himself that he is our Lord. He is our God. The idea is that whoever you obey, whoever you worship, whoever you praise, that person or entity or thing becomes your God. It becomes a God over your life. And I want to establish the fact that worshipers of God actually worship God. Hallelujah. You know, just because we come to church and we sit in a pew or in a chair, right? It doesn't mean that you're a child of God. It just means that you're a good sitter. And there are a lot of people who are good sitters, you know? They come and they're nice, they keep the seat nice and warm. And there it is, and it's comfortable to some degree, and they're there. But that doesn't make you a child of God. That doesn't make you a Christian, if you will. You can be religious in the sense that you have all the right information in your mind and in your head. You might believe it to some degree, but not necessarily enough for God to be your Lord. Because when you make someone your Lord, you do whatever they command you to do. Whatever they say that you should do, that is what you do. And the biblical premise and principle is whoever's word you obey, that person becomes the Lord of your life in that moment. And that is why Adam and Eve were in trouble, because they believed the word of the serpent over the word of God. They didn't hold on to the word of God. It reminds me of the Seinfeld episode where he says he rents a rental car and he places a hold for his car and they take his reservation, but when he gets there, there's no car for him. And ultimately he says, "I see. You have the ability to take the reservation. I paid for the reservation, but the problem is I get here, there's no car, you can't seem to hold the reservation," right? And so the idea is that you let the car, the thing that I have reserved, slip away from you, and that was the very reason you had the reservation in the first place. And you and I, we are in a relationship with God, and we are called of God to hold on to the very thing that God has given us. And God holds us, and we are able to be the people of God when we hold on to the truths of God, when we apply the principles of God and His Word. Adam and Eve in the garden, they had God's Word. They knew what God said. But when the serpent came along, they gave up their reservation, the Word that God had gave them, and they decided they were going to take the Word of the serpent over the Word of God. And that happens day after day after day. You and I are faced with decisions. We're faced with situations and circumstances where we have a choice. Do we handle this God's way, or do we handle this some other way under the advice of some other person? And that is why every time we hear advice or we hear a word or we hear someone share something, we have to go back to the Word of God and we have to say, what does God say about it? How do we handle this situation? How do we handle the circumstances so that God is glorified, that we stay in alignment with the Word of God? That's what makes you a subject of the Lord God, because you listen to His voice. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do the things that I say? Because the very word Lord, when you say Lord, that signifies that you're under their authority and that whatever they say, you are at their command. You do as they say. And so a Christian, one who is born of God, will submit to the Word of God. And even if you make a mistake, you will repent. You will feel the conviction in your heart. The Spirit of God will say, that is not right. You shouldn't do it, or don't do it, or you shouldn't have done it. Even afterwards, you might even feel worse. And why does that happen? It's because God wants us to turn around. He wants us to repent. He wants us to come back and say, God, forgive me. I want to do it your way. I want to do what you say. And we repent and we ask God to turn around. And we don't ask God to turn, but God asks us to turn around. We turn around and we change the direction that we are going in. In verse 2, it says, you shall keep my Sabbaths, reverence my sanctuary, for I am the Lord. And if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments so as to carry them out. So he's laying out the groundwork here, and he is saying, keeping the Sabbath, going to church or being involved, setting aside a day or a time, really, the Word of God says the day is set aside for the worship of the Lord and reverence His sanctuary. We come into the house of the Lord where the presence of God is, and we don't come in with a street mindset. We come in with the mind to meet with God. We are coming here to hear from God. We're coming here to enter into His presence, to worship Him, to glorify His name. And we are here to hear the Word of the Lord so that we can learn how to walk. And it's not even so much that we don't know how to walk, but there are times when we need to be reminded of things. And God has timed out the dissemination of His Word in such a way that you and I would hear what we need to hear in the timing that we need to hear it, so that in the upcoming week, we have an anchor to hold on, because the Word that God imparted to us on Sunday is now fruitful as we go through the week. And each week, we are in a fresh word is imparted to us when we come together, that which pertains to us as a body. And God will minister to us and speak to us so that we can carry out the will of God. He says, then I shall give you rains in their season. Notice what He gives. He says, I will give you rain. Why is He giving rain? There is the early rain and the latter rain. The fall rain, which is the early rain, and the latter rain is the spring rain that comes in the harvesting or the planting cycle or season. And as it goes through, it's for the purpose of what? Bearing fruit, right? The reason you sow a seed, the reason you plant, is because you want the vegetables. You want the fruit. You're not just sowing a seed just so you can say, I sowed a seed, right? The farmer doesn't go around, yes, I planted my seed. Yes, last year. Oh, and what a seed that was, right? Because the first thing you're going to ask is, what did you plant? What did you plant? And then you're going to say, well, what did you get out of your harvesting last year? What after you planted? What, well, how was it? How was the crop? How did it come forth? Because the goal is really the fruit. We want the fruit. It's the fruit. That means everything. It's not just the fact that we have a seed, and we know that Jesus said the seed is the word of God, right? When the sower sows the seed. And so you and I, when we receive the word of God, that is good. That is good. And that's why the word of God says, don't just be a hearer only, but be a doer of the word. So what does that mean? That means as we hear the word of God, it's good to hear, but it's even better if you can apply it in your life. If you can take those principles, if you can make the changes, if you can turn away from the way you're doing it and do it the Lord your God's way, you will have a fruitful life. There will be a manifestation that God causes to happen. So often we look at situations and circumstances, we say, well, I don't think it really makes sense because of this and because of that, and there's that going on and this happening. I want to do it that way. And so God says, no, don't do it that way. Do it my way. Go the way I have established you to go. Apply my principles. Do it this way. And you're saying, it doesn't make sense. I don't understand. And God says, do it my way anyway. And we hold on to the word of God. And if you don't, the serpent comes along and starts to rationalize. Well, doesn't it look good if you do it this way? It doesn't look too good if you go that way. It looks a lot better if you do it this way. I'm telling you, oh man, you will reap a harvest. Oh, it is so good. Look at this thing. Look. And they'll send other people around to say, oh yes, this is what I did. Oh, I did it that way. And look what I have. Oh, look what I did. Oh, it's like those infomercials. They come on TV and they try to get you to buy into some sort of plan where you spend all this money to get set up and then you have to do this and do that. And you're trying to get rich quick and you're trying to find a way to make money. And they bring in all these other people that claim to have had this positive experience. Oh, this great thing happened. I'm so wealthy now. I'm so prosperous now. Oh, yes, you should definitely get in on it. And we are trying to buy into something. They want us to be convinced that this is the right thing. But we ultimately all know what happens when you get involved. Who hasn't been involved in Amway or some of these other kinds of these pyramid schemes? And there's a lot more today that are out there. You know, you have all these TikTok shorts with people trying to convince you to buy things and to do things. And a lot of these things are just to take your money. And they get rich off of people who want to get rich. And you and I have to be wise, and we have to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, and God will give you direction so that in the season you will see fruitfulness. You will begin to grow. So the land will yield its produce. The trees will bear their fruit. It is always raining, saints of God. Hallelujah. It is always raining. Hallelujah. Deacon sleeping on the front row up here. You know, woke him up. Hallelujah. It is always raining. God is always moving. He is always working. He is always in the midst. The Spirit of God, He is glorious. He is awesome. He is amazing. He is your Lord, your God. Hear His voice and follow Him. God is speaking to His people, and He's pouring out His Spirit. He is always doing a new thing. And God is using his people to be his ambassadors, to be his witnesses. In Deuteronomy 11, 13, it says, it shall come about if you listen obediently to my commandments, which I am commanding you today. Who is commanding? God is. God is commanding. Why do we sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs unto God? Because God said so, right? That's why we're not here. We're not singing top 40 hits off of, you know, whatever the radio stations are that play top 40 hits. We're not, that's not who we are. That is another form of worship. I'll just throw that out there for free. That is a different form of worship. That is the worship to another. You know, any song will tell you who they're worshiping. Just listen to what they're saying. And you'll know what people are worshiping. Even if there's no words, you'll know that they're worshiping something. All you have to do is learn a little bit about their lifestyle. And when you see their lifestyle and you see the way they live, you'll start to see the fruit of their identity coming forth, and they are making music out of the condition of that soul, and it's being imparted to you so you can be like them, and you go where they take you. And this music, we all know, is designed to take you somewhere, and it's designed to take you to a place. And that's why worshiping God takes you into his presence. It takes you into the presence of God, and it causes you to have an experience and an encounter with God. And the anointing of God flows in the midst. It moves in the midst of God's people. And so we are to love the Lord our God and to serve him with all your heart, not just a little bit. All of your heart, your whole heart, put your heart into it. When it's time for worship, put your heart into it. Put your soul into it. God wants you to be sold out for him. He wants you to just close your eyes, just get lost in his presence. Think about the words of the song. Think about what is being said. We talked last week about the song becoming a prayer. Let the songs of the Lord become a prayer. Do you listen to worship music in your car? Do you listen to songs and hymns and spiritual songs? It becomes a prayer. Have you ever sang a song and just say, oh, God, oh, let that be in me. Let me have that experience in my life. God is the one. He tells us how to live victoriously, how to live fruitfully so that we can have life. Hallelujah. So we can have joy. We can have the essence and the effervescence of God just flowing in the midst of us. There is a move of his spirit. Why? Because in him there is life. Hallelujah. There is no life apart from God. You can be a Christian and live your life apart from God. You can just not do the things that God says to do, and then your life will be whatever it is. When you look at your life, that is the sum of your worship. Your life experience is the sum of your worship. If you're feeling down and gloomy, well, you need to pick it up. If you're not experiencing the love of God and the joy and the peace and patience and kindness and this is the fruit of the Spirit. It's the thing that the Spirit generates within us. And he brings us to life. He brings us to a place of his divine created space. And we are now the people that he's called us to be. We're a reflection of him. Verse 15 says, He will give grass in your fields for your cattle, and you will eat and what? Be satisfied. You know what satisfies you? Nutrients in food. Nutrients in the food is what satisfies you. And that is why you eat certain things and you're hungry a little while later. Have you ever had that happen? Right? You eat certain foods, you know, you just keep eating. You keep eating, you keep eating, keep eating, and you keep eating because you're not satisfied. You need more nutrients. And if you start out with a bottle of chips and a soda, you know, you're going to find yourself constantly in a state of hunger. But if you eat something satisfying, have some meat. Yes, some good old protein. Get some meat, you know, get some vegetables. Don't overcook them, all right? You know, eat something that has substance to it. Hallelujah. I tell you, I remember I used to walk home from school, and every Friday, a friend of mine, we would stop at the pizza shop, and we would buy a pie each. Hallelujah. And we would sit, and we would eat a whole pizza, and we would just sit there, and we would laugh and tell jokes and have fun and just eat pizza and drink soda. Hallelujah. Well, yeah, I'm not doing that anymore. Hallelujah. Yeah, that is gone. I'm lucky if I can even get a slice of pizza now. My wife is like, you're not eating that. Like, come on. Hallelujah. So, glory to God. So, you know, I have to find my way to eating a little bit better, right? And we all do. We have to eat a little bit better to make sure we have nutrients so we can be satisfied. Hosea 6:1 says, come, let us return to the Lord. Don't you love that? That means we belong to him and we went astray. And we know, because in Adam, we've all gone astray. And he says, return. He says, come back. He's talking generations later. He's talking to the generations. There were those who were walking with God. The Israelites, they were walking with the Lord. They went into the promised land. God blessed them. They were fruitful. They multiplied. They were blessed of God. But then they were swayed by the nations around them. And they began to think like the heathen nations around them. How many Christians think like heathen people in our culture? How many Christians are thinking like the heathen culture around us? How many people who are children of God actually live their lives apart from God? They're separated from God. They live secular lives. And there is no evidence of godliness in their life. There's no witness. There's no testimony. You wouldn't know them from somebody who never knew God at all. They look the same. And the world has lost respect for the church because the church has lost its power and its authority. And you and I are children of God. He came that we may have life, and he came to give us power. He gave us his spirit so that you and I might have power. He said, when the spirit of the Lord comes over you, you shall have power and you will be my witnesses. That means you will have boldness. Paul would say, God, give me boldness. And you and I, you need boldness. You need the spirit of God. Oh, I can't tell you how many times I've heard Christians say, well, that's not just my personality. I'm saying, well, that's your problem. Get out of yourself and get in God. Hallelujah. Get into the presence of God. Get into the Spirit of God. When you get filled with the Spirit of God, when you allow the anointing of God to come over you, you won't be able to keep quiet. You're going to be sitting there and you're going to be going, Lord, oh, I know I need to say something. And you're going to be waiting for the opportunity to jump in. And all of a sudden, you're going to say something. And you're going to go, ooh, did I say that? Oh, and now it's out there. And now you just got to roll with it. And the Spirit of God goes, go ahead. Say it, do it, do it. Why? Because you're under God's authority and the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, he stirs you and he unctions you and he causes you to do the things that he says to do. Oh, that's an exciting life. That is an exciting life. Oh, my Lord. In verse 1, he says, come, return to the Lord, for he has what? Torn us, but he will heal us. He has wounded us, but he will bandage us. They're talking about the fact that, look, we completely went astray. We didn't do what the Ten Commandments were, the commandments of the Lord were. We didn't follow the will of God. We got caught up with our neighbors and the people around us. We did the things that God said don't do. But God says, this is the call through the prophet Hosea. He says, return to the Lord. Hallelujah. Change the way you're doing things. Change the way you're thinking. Change the way you're going. Do it God's way. Oh, you are torn. I don't know about you, but I've been torn. I have been in need of healing, and God healed me. Hallelujah. I've been wounded, but God bandaged me. He's given me life. He's given me restoration. And you, I'm sure you have had a similar experience, and you probably were thinking, oh, the devil is out to get me. Yeah, he is, but God is out to save us. God is out to redeem us. God is out to heal us, to deliver us, to set us free. You and I, we have more going for us than those who are against us. God is able to do abundantly more than you and I could ever ask or imagine. You can be a witness to the power of God. He says he will revive us. Don't you love that? You need revival today. Oh, you guys need some reviving today. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We need some reviving. I don't know what you went through this past week, but I'm going to tell you, let the Spirit of the Lord be upon you. Be revived today. You will be revived in this place. You will have life imparted to you. You will be raised up. Hallelujah. On the third day, that we may live before him. Oh, don't you want to live before the Lord? Oh, don't you want to live? You want to live in his presence. In the before him means in his presence. That means you're on the inner circle. It's the idea of the disciples who walked with Jesus. They were in a different place than the people who were a part of the crowd. The crowd had experiences, but the disciples, they had relationship. They were intimate with Jesus. They walked with him. They could ask him questions. They could discover meanings of things that the other people went in wonder over. But you and I, we have that kind of relationship. You and I are able to abide in his presence. We're able to live. We're able to have life. God raises us up. Don't you love this? This is a picture of Christ, isn't it? Right? You see that? He will revive us after what? 2 days. 2 days. And on the third day, we will what? Be raised up. We will live. Live before him. Jesus went into the grave. The word of God tells us that he even went down into the hell, into the pits, and he took the keys to the kingdom. He took the keys from Satan. He took them, and he came up on the second day. And then on the third day, he rose victoriously from the grave. He came out of the tomb. Oh, it shook and it rumbled. I should have had thunder here, right? Oh, and oh, it would have came out. And it comes out and Jesus came alive. This is a picture of your life and mine. This is what God is doing for us. God is in a constant state. It's always raining, my friends. It's raining. God is moving by his Spirit. He is reviving and he is raising up. He is delivering and setting free. He is healing. He is restoring and renewing. So let us know. Let us press on. Let us press on to know. Let us seek God. Let us become intimate with God. Speak to him. He is there. He is listening. He will respond to you. He is going forth as certain as the dawn, and he will come to us like the rain. And he will come to us like the rain, like the spring rain, watering the earth. The spring rain is a refreshing rain. Oh, it is the rain that is the lighter rain. It's the rain that's designed to come down on the plant that has grown up. Are you growing up in God? I pray that you're not just a seedling, just going around holding on to the seed of the word of God. I pray that that seed is taking root in you and you become someone who is growing up. You're maturing in your walk with God and you're able to rise above the soil. You see the earth and the people of the world, they're of the dirt. They're of the earth. They are lost in their sins. They're in darkness. But you and I, we rise above the earth. We rise up as God raises us up. We mature like the seedling of God. And then we find ourselves to the point where we're standing tall and we begin to flower. The flower is the fruit of the Spirit. It's the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness. We're bringing forth that fruit. And then we begin to bring forth the fruit of the actual image of Christ. And that is where we begin to replicate ourselves. That is where we make disciples. That next stage is where you make disciples. The rain brings in divine, spiritual, holistic life. It brings you to a place of fruitfulness where people will be attracted to you. How many of you love looking at fruitful flowers? Do you like flowers? Oh, do you plant flowers around your home? Do you have them in your house? Why? Because they're beautiful. And you know that when you see the flower, it is the fruit of a seed that was planted. And as that seed was planted, as that fruit was planted, you and I, we know that we sowed into good soil. Isn't that right? You know, aren't you excited when you see something come up? Man, for a while there, you ever plant seeds and nothing happened? And you're like, good Lord, what is going on? I remember I planted some seeds, and man, nothing happened. I was shaking that thing. I was doing all kinds of stuff. I'm like, hello, are you in there? You know, well, we're pouring water on it, pouring water. Found out we drowned it. We found out we drowned it. Yeah, the thing had root rot. I didn't even know there was such a thing. Root rot killed that thing. Just drowned it. You know, and there's nothing worse than being drowned. Don't drown your seeds. Don't overwhelm people with the word of God. Be a light. Be the flower. When people see the flower, they will start to smell the scent of the flower. They will see its beauty, and they will say, oh, I want one of those. You know, how can I get one? And you say, I have a seed right here. Hallelujah. And now you have a heart that has been ready. It's been watered. The fallow ground has been broken up because now they want one. And you could say, yes, here. And they will receive the seed into good ground in their heart. And that is what you and I are called to do. We're called to be the flower that brings forth fruit. And that's when God begins to rain. The latter rain comes into your life when you begin to flower. Oh, that's the good rain. Up until then, you have the early rains, and that's designed to break things up. That's to bring a saturation of water, because when the dry season comes, you need to be able to endure it. You need to be able to endure the dry season. We all go through dry seasons, and when those dry seasons happen, we have to be able to hold on to the truth of God and His Word. And so we hold on so we can have a holistic life, a life that is in the fullness of God. In Matthew 6:24, it says, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. You can't be worrying about making money, as the young lady said she loved to do in the video clip. You and I, we all love making money, but I love praising God for His provision more than making money. Hallelujah. I tell you, it's greater to praise God and glorify Him than it is to make anything else. And verse 25 says, for this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life. Are you worried about your life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to put on, all these things relating to life? He says, don't be worried. Don't be concerned. He says, look at the birds of the air. Look at them. They don't sow. They don't reap. They don't gather into barns. But your heavenly Father, He feeds them. Are they not much more worth more than you are? Are they worth more than you and I? And the idea is, no, we're worth more than them. Jesus didn't die for the birds. Hallelujah. Yeah, Jesus, He died for the birds. Yeah, no, He did not. He died for you and me. He died for us, that we might have life. We are worth much more than they. Absolutely. In verse 27, He says, who of you being worried can add a single hour to your life. What are you worried about? Why are you intimidated about worshiping God, about serving the Lord, about doing things differently, doing things God's way? Don't you trust that God will sustain you? Yes, he will. God is faithful. He is able to do abundantly more than you and I could ever ask or even imagine. We can't even add an hour to our life. He says, look at the lilies of the field. They don't toil. They don't work, man, I tell you. It took some work to get this place turned around, didn't it? I tell you, we were toiling. Hallelujah. We were toiling, and the Spirit of the Lord was with us, though. And God made the heavy load lighter. The Lord made a way. He sent people to help, and there was provision, and the move of God was in the midst. And even the people who worked here were impacted by the Spirit of God as they worked. Why? Because God showed up. And when God shows up, it changes everything. When God shows up, it changes everything. Just look at nature all around us. They're not working. They're not struggling, right? The flowers aren't like, all right, I got to grow. Oh, in the name of Jesus, oh, grow me, Lord. Raise me up. No, they're just, I'm a flower. God is my life and my source. I'm just dependent on God. They just stand there. They wait for the rain. If it takes a long time, they just wait. If it comes over and over and over again and they feel like it's too much, they just wait. And they just endure whatever the season is because they know that their God is providing for them. Their God is watching over for them. And you and I, we are the same. We're no different than they. God is the one who is our source. But our difference is we get to choose who will be our master. We get to choose who our provider will be. You can be your own provider, or you can say, God is my provider. But God is only going to acknowledge you if you do things his way. When you begin to do things his way and you begin to give him thanks, have you ever done something for someone and they don't say thank you? Have you? Have you ever done something and the person doesn't seem like they really appreciated it or they didn't understand the magnitude of the help you gave them? Have you ever had that situation? Man, it's kind of annoying, isn't it? It makes you feel like, man, I don't want to help them anymore. Yeah, I don't want to, you know, it sucks the will to want to help out of you. But man, when you help somebody, when you bless them and you do something and they are so grateful and they respond with great gratitude and they are celebratory and thanks, man, you just want to keep blessing them because you just want to see them shout. Right? You want to see, you need joy around you. You want to help people. You want to be a blessing. Why? Because it's in your heart to do so. Because if you're a child of God, God says that's what you do. A sower sows. And it's when you sow that God causes you to reap. God will replenish all that you give out. He renews, he restores, he revives. He says in verse 29, I say to you that not even Solomon in all of his glory could clothe himself like one of these flowers, he says. But God so clothed the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace. Will he not much more clothe you? Will not God be your source of provision? He says, you of little faith. Why is he saying that? Not because they were probably all going, oh, yeah, Lord, no, we believe God. Oh, yeah. But God was saying, yeah, but watch how you're making your decisions. Look at your schedule. Look at your priority list. Look at how you're spending your time and your day. You're not doing it my way. You're doing it your own way. You're saying it with your lips, but your heart is far from me, Jesus said, isn't it? What he said? That's what Jesus said. And so he says, don't be worried. Do not worry then, saying, what will I eat or what will I drink or what will I wear for clothing? Hey, he says, you're the Gentiles. Even the Gentiles are seeking after these things. But your heavenly Father, he knows. Do you know that God knows? Hallelujah. I always get a chuckle when I hear people pray and they start telling a story. You ever hear people story pray? You know, I always get a chuckle out of that. They're like, and Lord, you know, I was walking down the street, and as I was going down, I went around the corner, and I ran into such and such a person, and then I was telling them this and telling them that, and then this happened and that happened, and God, you know, and this and that and that. And they go, do you ever hear those people pray like that? You know, it's funny, right? I'm like, yeah, I know. I don't know where God was that day. He just didn't seem to be around, you know. So you got to remind him of the story. Yeah, I know. You're telling God the whole story. You know, God knows, your heavenly Father. He already knows. You don't have to go into a whole story. You don't have to retell the story. You know, maybe if it makes you feel better, all right, you know, fine. You know, listen, if you're doing it at home in your prayer closet, none of us mind. But somehow I have a feeling people don't pray like that at home, right? Yeah. I think it's just when there is an audience. And you and I, we have to understand, we have to know that God knows. He knows all these things. That's why he says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. And he says, do not worry. Do not worry. How many times do we hear that? Do not worry. It's raining. God is providing. He is pouring down the waters. The water we talked about over the summer is the movement of the Spirit of God upon the Word of God. The Spirit is making the Word to come to life. The Word and the Spirit working together is the movement of the water. It's living water, water with life in it. He says, don't worry. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry. It'll take care of itself. Each day has enough what? Trouble of its own. Hallelujah. So think about today. Hallelujah. Don't be one of those people who's like, I've got to think about what I'm doing tomorrow, then I got a Tuesday, I got this, and Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday, and then I got that, and then, oh man, then the week after that, I got to do this. Oh man, I got a rough 3-4 weeks coming up. Oh my goodness, what am I going to do? Oh, and all of a sudden, they start getting anxiety, and they start thinking about, I'm so overwhelmed, I got to do all this stuff. No, forget that. What are you doing today? What are we doing now? What's happening right now? What do we need to do? Let's just do today. Tomorrow will take care of itself. It will happen. We know it's going to come through. Everything's going to work together for your good. You're going to go through all that worrying, and in a week, you're going to forget that you were even worrying a week ago. That's what happens, and we forget. And meanwhile, our blood pressure is sky high. Now we're popping pills, and now we got all kinds of issues and stuff going on. Why? Because we worry too much. And if you don't do things God's way, you will worry. You won't be able to not worry. But when you know that you're doing things God's way, when you know that the Lord is with you, then you can say, I lay it down. I lay it down. I'm trusting in you. What are you living for, saints? I pray that you're living for the Lord your God. I pray that your life is in his hands, that your will is to do his will, and that you are living for the will of God. Everyone lives for something, and when they don't know what they're living for, it's because they don't know that they're not living for the Lord. That's the one thing they do know. If you don't know what you're living for, you know you're not living for the Lord. Isn't that right? Because when you're living for the Lord, it's a conscious effort. You are making a plan to obey the will of God, the Word of God. You're studying the Word so that you will know how to make decisions, how to live, and how to act. So what then? Only that in every way, Paul says, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. And in this I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice. You see, Paul here, talking to the Philippian church, he says that I have sown the seed. I sowed the seed of God into people's life. I have done the will of God. No matter what happens, I know that Christ is proclaimed. Is Christ the fruit of your life? Is Christ the fruit of your relationships with other people? As you interact with people, is Christ being manifested? Is God the one who's being glorified and honored? I'm not saying you have to quote scriptures at people and talk Bible talk all day long. No, I'm saying that you interact with them out of an understanding. Your inner programming is based on the scripture and the Word of God. And you are bringing forth the fruit of God in your speech, in your interactions, in the way you treat people, in the way you interact. There's love, there's joy, there's peace, there's patience, kindness, gentleness. There's all of these good things. There's self-control. I'm not just overreacting. I'm not just because somebody triggers, I'm getting me upset. Now I'm going to, you know, No. I have the peace of God. And I say, Lord God, give me wisdom. Give me strength. God says, grow up, mature in your walk with God. Don't act like a seedling. Act like one who is flowering in the fruit of the Spirit of God, ready to bring forth fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. Verse 20 says, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that I will not be put to shame in anything. Do you know when you apply the principles of God in your life, you will not be put to shame? You will not be put to shame. The Spirit of the Lord will rise up and be your covering. God will make a way for you. He will be your covering. You will not be put to shame. And that you can even grow in your ability to be bold for the kingdom of God's sake. It's not easy to be bold. Because when you go to represent the kingdom of God, there's a spirit that comes against you. And all of a sudden, that spirit of intimidation, it causes you to have a spirit of fear that really comes over people. And it happens to all of us. And we have to know that that is the spirit that is not from God. It is designed to stop you from being a witness. It is to block the scent of your flower scent. It is designed to keep people from seeing the fruit of the Spirit of God in you, to keep you from speaking life. And you and I, we have to hold on and we have to persevere in God. He says, Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my what? Body. In my body. Saints of God, is Christ being exalted in your body? That's what you live for. We live that Christ would be exalted in these bodies. As long as I live by Christ or in Christ. Whether by life or by death, we live unto the Lord. And Philippians 1:21 says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Isn't that awesome? That is what we live for, saints of God. That is why we want it to keep raining. Let it rain. Let the rain come down. Let the rain flow. Let it move. Let it flow. Oh, you don't need an umbrella. Hallelujah. In this rain, have you ever gone out without an umbrella? Man, there's nothing like a nice spring rain. You go out, you don't need an umbrella. You just kind of go out there and you allow the rain to come down and you just enjoy it. Oh man, I would love it. I used to go camping and it would rain and the rain would come down and it would be coming down. It would be so hard to even get a fire going. But man, it was always so nice to hear the rain hitting the leaves in the woods and the sounds. And oh, it was awesome. It was wonderful. We would put tents up and tarps to cover up and create a covering for us. But man, I'm telling you, what an awesome time it is. Let it rain. Let the rain come down, saints of God. God wants to rain in your life. Let the Spirit of the Lord come down. He will break up the fallow ground of your heart so you don't have to try to take in the will of God or the word of God or the ways of God on the hardness of your heart. God will rain into it. And he will bring life to you. He will enable you to overcome. Like Deuteronomy 11:14 says, he will give you rain in your land in its season, the early and the late rain, that you may what? Gather your grain. That's the fruit of your seed that's being sown. And your new wine. What is your new wine? The new wine represents the Spirit of God that's poured into you. New wine is when it's freshly squeezed. It's fresh from the grape. You know what happens when wine ferments, right? It gets old. The older it gets, the more wheezy you get. But this isn't that. This is the new wine. It's fresh. It's fresh wine. Oh, saints of God, you and I, wine is what you drink. It goes on the inside, right? It goes to the inside. So the new wine is so that you can bring forth fruit in your heart. You have love, you have joy, you have peace, you have patience. You know, the desires of your heart become for the Lord when you're full of new wine. And then it says what? your oil. The oil is the outpouring. The Spirit of God pours over you. That represents the anointing of God who empowers you to do a work. Hallelujah. Not only is it in your heart, but now you got power to get it done. Oh, God enables you to overcome. I tell you, I need some grain. That's the bread. We need the wine. That's the Spirit working on the inside. And we need the oil. That's the unctioning on the outside to say, come on, let's go, baby. And the Spirit of the Lord enables you to overcome. He gives you favor. He opens doors. He makes a way. He brings you all the way through this cycle of life. And the Spirit of God is able to do abundantly more than you could ever ask or imagine. You will grow up. You will mature from a seedling. You will grow into being a part of the body and being a part of the work of God, where the Spirit of God can use you, and you will become a new creation in Christ. You will bring forth fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold, and people will want what you have. They will want to be a part of your life. They will want to eat of your fruit. They will want to experience God because you have. They will start looking for the rain. Oh, I need God to rain down. I need God to show up in my life. God, I want more fruit. I need more vegetables. I need more food of sustenance. I need something that I can hold on to. I need something that's going to give me life and life everlasting. I want the rain to come. Let it rain, saints of God. Let it rain, let it rain, let it rain. Hallelujah. Glory to God. May God be glorified. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Woo! Yes, Lord. Come on.
Come. When you found me, I was so alive.
Oh, yeah.
My sin was before me. I was swallowed by pride. Darkness, you walk into your light.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
You showed me your mercy. You opened up my eyes.
Oh, come on, come on. Oh,
from the day you saved my soul. Till the very moment when I come home, I say, I'll dance. My heart will overflow. From the day you saved my soul, till the very moment when I come home, I say, I'll dance, my heart will overflow. From the day you saved my soul,
I pray that you will sing and that you will dance, because you have every reason to do it. You have every reason to rejoice. This is why Christ came. He came that we may have life. The reign of God, the move of the Spirit of God, is at work in the midst of us. Let God do a new thing in you. Let God do a new thing in every aspect of your life. Change the way you think. Change the way you do things. Align your ways with the ways of God. You will not be disappointed. God will cause you to grow. Don't be stagnant. Don't be stuck where you are. God has more for your life. He has more for you. He wants you to be used of Him. He wants you to reflect the glories of His kingdom and His design. He created you to be a reflection of Himself. And yes, He gave you your own personality, but it's still designed to be in alignment and in harmony with the very kingdom of God, that the power of God may be manifested in your life. I pray that you would experience God for yourself. Don't hold back. Don't let anybody hold you back. Let the Spirit of the Lord have His way in your life. Seek God with all your heart and all your soul, and let God be glorified. He will not disappoint you. You will see that God is real, He's alive, and He will do what He says He will do. So, Lord, we thank You for Your word today, and we ask, oh God, that as we leave this place, we go refreshed, renewed, revived, inspired, built up, and enabled by the Spirit of the Lord. I pray, God, that you would enable us to overcome every obstacle that we will face this week, that you will have gone before us and broken up the fallow ground. Rain down with the rain of God. Let the Spirit of God move in every situation. There are challenges that we face. There are obstacles that we're trying to overcome. God, go before us. Enable us to overcome. We look to you, O God. We trust in you, O God. You are the one who enables us, who makes a way even when it seems impossible. And we thank you, O God, for a manifestation of yourself from within us, from around us, from over us, from through us, that you, O God, would be the one who is glorified in all the things that we say and do. We give you thanks, O God, for all that we have heard and felt today. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Hallelujah.
And endless joy is the only sign.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
Rest my heart forever now. In your arms I'll always be found.
From the day you saved my soul till the very moment when I come home, I'll dance, my heart will overflow. From the day you saved my soul, saved my soul, till the very moment when I come home, I say,